This morning we are continuing to look at the book of Revelation, and this is a particularly difficult subject, I think, for a lot of people to look at, and sometimes it's been a very misunderstood subject. I think I would start with, this is the Great White Throne Judgment, I would start with saying, what is the point of all theology? What is the point of our worship? What is the point of our study? What is the point of all Christianity? What's it all about? We have a lot of differing opinions and differing ideas today, and opinions are wonderful, but I'll be honest with you, opinions pretty much in the face of fact are worthless. You can get a lot of opinions about a lot of different things, but the only thing that really matters is what is the real truth. And my opinion and your opinion doesn't really matter. So this morning I want us to try to answer that question. We're in the book of Revelation, 20th chapter, verses 11 through 15. This is John writing, and he said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. May God add to the reading of His Scripture. So what this judgment really is a reckoning, a final, eternal reckoning. All human history, everything that has happened, every event that has happened in all of human history, and everything that has happened in my life and in your life is all brought together in one final judgment that will be before God Almighty. That will be the great white throne judgment. Everything else doesn't really matter. That is the main thing. So in order to understand this, we need to back up a little bit. Well, actually, back up a lot. If we go back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve before the fall of man, human beings, Adam and Eve, had direct relationship with God. God spoke with them, they talked, they walked in the garden, they were in direct face-to-face contact with God. And when Adam and Eve sinned, and what they did was direct rebellion against God, it was a direct rebellion. When that happened and sin entered the world, we were separated from God. Human beings, a curtain fell, if you will, and we could no longer directly see or speak with God. You remember after they had sinned, it says they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. It doesn't say anywhere for the rest of the Bible that anyone actually laid eyes on God. No human being since the fall of Adam and Eve has been able to look on the face of God, to have a direct personal knowledge and relationship with God. Moses came close, and he asked God, basically, can I see you? And God said, no, you can't. If you looked on me, it would kill you. A human being cannot physically stand to look at me. God is holy, and we are not. And so God allowed him to see kind of the tail end of his glory, hit him in a rock and put his hand over it and let him get just a glimpse. And he came off of the mountain from that and was glowing. 4 days, it looked like he had been in a nuclear fallout or something. He was literally glowing. We cannot be physically present in the presence of God. We don't have the ability. God is holy. And you and I cannot fully comprehend what holy is. God is on a level so far above us, so outside of what we can understand, that it's difficult for us to even reason or comprehend what it is. The Apostle Paul, speaking about an experience that he had had earlier, said, I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I really can't tell, how that such an one was caught up into paradise, unto the third heaven, and heard words that are not lawful for a man to utter. What does all that mean? Well, part of what that means is Paul heard things that were in heaven, and he says it wasn't lawful for a man to utter. It's not, well, it's illegal to say this, this, and this. It's that human beings can't comprehend it. We can't understand the glory and the magnificence of eternal heaven and of eternal God. There is a separation because we are sinful creatures. I can do the best that I can do, and I try. I do everything I can, and I still have issues. I still have faults. I have problems. There are things that go on in my life that I wish didn't occur. There are times I think things I wish I didn't think. There are certainly times I say things that I wish I had not said later on. I am human. And as a human, I am separated from God. Not long ago, I know the subject of being holy came up. And someone said, well, you know, we can't be holy. Nobody's holy. And my thought is, well, at least give it a shot. You know, I think some people don't even try. It's like, yeah, I can't be holy. I just go out and do whatever I want because it don't matter anyway. Yes, it matters. Yes, it matters. We need to try our best to be holy because we worship a holy God. Yes, we fail. Yes, we make mistakes. But we get up and we try again. We keep pressing toward the prize. We are not holy. We are separated from God. This judgment, after this, those who come through this judgment will be reunited with God. That's what all of Christian theology is about. That's why we worship. It is so that you and I, so that people can be reunited with God, so that we will be able to see Him face to face. We see now through a glass dimly, but then we will see face to face. After this judgment is over, after all of the sin is removed from the world, we will be back in perfect harmony with Almighty God. That's the goal. That's what all of church is about, is that we develop a relationship. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. We go through this great white throne judgment. All sin is removed. The reckoning occurs, and there is a separation, and there will be no more sin after this judgment. It will be separated. It will be thrown into the lake of fire. Right now, that hasn't happened. So before that, we have the opportunity to make some decisions and to do some things that will directly affect where our soul spends eternity. That's the reality. I work with a lot of people in accounting, on taxes and finance, and I see people who get in all sorts of terrible financial pickles. And you know what I have found more than anything else, and I guess it applies to me as well as everyone else. My problem, and everybody else's problem when it comes to finance, is that they fail to plan and then to act. They just kind of wander around through life. You know, I had a guy in my office last week who said, well, I don't have anything. I don't have any money. I don't have anything. And he was in his 60s. And you know, I said, well, did you go to school? No, I never went to school. That wasn't for me. I said, okay, did you learn a trade? Well, no, I really never learned a trade. Did you ever learn any kind of skill? No, I really don't have a skill. I've just kind of bounced around from place to place and did whatever odd job I could find and never really thought any more about doing it. And now you're 60 years old and you wonder, why am I broke? You know, it's not that hard to understand. When we're young, we need to learn a skill. We need to learn a trade. We need to get an education. We need to prepare ourselves to do the things that we can do in life to make us successful, financially as well. Spiritually, we need to be getting prepared now for what will be whenever we reach the end of this life. There will be a tremendous amount of people, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I will anyway. There's going to be a lot of people who come before the throne of God on this day, and they have never thought about what they're going to do when they reach the end of their life. It's always been, let's just have fun. Let's do whatever seems to be fun. Whatever I enjoy today, whatever makes me laugh today, whatever feeds my ego or my lust or my greed or whatever it is today that just does it for me, I'm going to do that. And then when I get to the end of my life and stand before God, it's like, gosh, I hadn't really ever thought about getting here. We've got a plan today for what is going to happen tomorrow. So here's the way this works, how judgment works. Every single person will stand before God. There will be no exceptions. It's not, well, but I'm this or that or I'm something else. Every person will be judged. The books will be opened. And I love the way it differentiates between the book of life and the books. The books are a tally of what you and I do. Every thought, every deed, every idle word that we speak, everything we do is recorded. I've been told, and I don't, honestly, obviously, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, so I don't know all of the ins and outs of this, but I read one time that when someone is having brain surgery or when someone's head is open in that way, that physicians can press on a particular part of the brain and it will bring back sometimes exact memories of things that happened 30 or 40 years ago that everybody had forgotten about. Moments in time will come back to that person. You know what that is telling me? There is a recorder sitting on top of my shoulders that is recording every single thing that I do. Not just what I do, but what I think, what I want, what goes on in my life is recorded. And so is yours. Every action, every thought, every idle word, every deed that we do, everything is recorded, and we will give an account for it. We will stand accountable for those things. I had a friend many years ago when I worked at the school district. They were a young married couple, and they went to this church, and the preacher the first Sunday, I don't know, he got in the pulpit and he preached on drinking. You know, and he said, if you drink alcohol, you're just going to hell. So the next Sunday, they kind of rode quietly on the way home. The next Sunday, got in there, and the sermon was on smoking or tobacco and the evils of tobacco. You know, if you use tobacco, if you dip, chew, smoke, whatever, you're just going to hell. There's no hope. Next Sunday, they left church. The sermon was on dancing and going out to nightclubs and what have you. And, you know, if you do that sort of thing, you're just going to hell. So they got in the car, started home. The wife looked at the husband and said, "We might as well quit. We don't have a chance. We're just doomed to start with." And I know sometimes when I say things like, "Everything we do, we'll give an account for," it seems like we're just doomed. There is no hope. There is hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. Without Him, you're absolutely right. We're doomed. Without Him, there is nothing I could do. There's nothing I could say. I am sinful man, and I am condemned, unclean. I rightfully should stand before that judgment and should be separated from God. God is holy, and I am not, and that separation would have to occur, and my life and my world would be over. But thank God there is Jesus. Every person will stand before God. Pilate, who at Jesus' trial famously said, "I don't find anything wrong with him." But he said, "You know what? I'm going to wash my hands of him. You do with him as you please." He will stand before God and give an account of that and many other things. The people who yelled, "Crucify," and they said, "Let his blood be on us and our children," that won't be forgotten. That statement is going to come back, and they will stand before Almighty Holy God and give an account for making that statement. The Roman soldiers who drove the nails in his hands, all of those people, all of the evil people that have existed on this earth, they will all stand before God, and they will give an account. This is a side note. I think, though, it kind of fits in. If you watch news very much, you're aware of the Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell saga, and she has been convicted, I understand, of trafficking children. But they've never said who she trafficked them to. No list has ever come out. We don't know who it is that was buying these children, who were committing these horrible acts with these small children. That's kept quiet. Every single one of them will stand before the throne of God, and they will give an account for what they have done. It will be known. Every murderer, every rapist, every sex predator, every evil person who has committed sin and thinks that they have escaped justice on this earth, they are deluding themselves. They will stand before an almighty and a holy God, and they will give an account for what they have done. The false prophet. You know, it's a terrible thing to sin. But it is worse if you teach other people to sin, if you deceive other people. We have a lot of preachers today, and we've always had them, that do that exact thing. That for money, for a dollar, they tell people things that are untrue and that are going to end them up in hell. And they're doing it for money. Those people will stand before God. Every single one of them, and they will be held to account for every word that they have spoken. All of those are almost just, you know. I don't have a problem with that sort of thing. The person who molests a child or does something like that is like, send them on to hell with my blessing. I think that's wonderful. But there's another person, a kind of person that will stand there. There's that person that's always been pretty moral, you know, not rob stores or sell drugs. They don't do anything like that. But they've just never really saw the need to believe. They've never really quite made the connection and said, I need to commit my life to God. They've always just been kind of standoffish. And when they stand before God, and they say, you know, hey, I was a pretty good old boy. Yes, I've got sin, but I was a pretty good old boy. That won't cut it before holy God. That will not work. They will face the same lake of fire damnation that the false prophet, the murderer, the child molester, all of those people, they'll be lumped together. Jeffrey Dahmer will be in the same group of people as that person who always said, I'm good enough. I don't need to go to church. There is a lie out there that you can just go to the lake, or you can go to the mountains, or you can go to somewhere like that, and you can worship there. Listen, people, I've spent the majority of my life traipsing around the Ouachita Mountains in Arkansas. People aren't out there worshiping. Just not what they're doing. You know, I don't care if you're deer hunting, turkey hunting, whatever you're doing, you're not out there worshiping. And if you go to the lake tomorrow or this evening, this afternoon, and you see people out there having a good time, they're not out there worshiping God. They're not thinking about their eternal soul. It's wonderful to go to those places. I love them dearly. But I need to come to church. I need to look into God's Word. I need to hear the gospel preached. I need to understand that as a person, I've got to make choices and I've got to change. God doesn't want to kill or destroy the good old boy. God doesn't want to take that young couple that just never really got with it and send them to hell. They're doing it to themselves. I heard a preacher one time give an altar call. I never will forget it. I've never done this, but it really had an effect on me. We'd had a revival for a week, and honestly, I think he had preached his heart out, done everything he knew to do, said everything he needed to say. So last night of the revival, he said, if you are intent on going to hell, if you are intent of being lost, even though you have people who love you and who are praying for you, if you are intent on going to hell, even though the church is reaching out to you, even though Jesus Christ got on a cross and shed his blood for you, for your salvation, if you're just intent in stepping over all of those people and going to hell, have at it. And you know, we don't usually think in those. So you don't tell people, okay, go on, go to hell. Maybe sometimes we need to. Maybe sometimes I need to stop and look at me and say, look, Stephen, if you're not going to do right, if you're not going to really believe, if you're not going to do what you're supposed to do, go on to hell. I don't want to do that. I'm scared to death of this judgment. I'm scared to death of living a life that is not right in the eyes of God. Then there will be another kind of person there. That person who put their faith in Jesus Christ. I can imagine them standing before God, and the books are open. And the old devil himself liked to bring up their sins. You know, they did. Jesus says, wait a minute. I have forgiven his sins. I shed my blood for his sins. They're wiped out. They are gone. This is a person who is clean. Not because of something they've done. Not because they have some righteous work to bring. Not because they had the title, preacher or deacon or elder or Sunday school teacher. Not because of any of those things. They are clean because they put their faith in me and me alone. Jesus Christ has shed his blood for my sin and for your sin. But in order to get that forgiveness, I have to put my faith in him. You know, there will be good things at this judgment. I related a little while ago with the apostle talking about being called up into paradise unto the third heaven. I believe that relates to an event that happened earlier in his life, about 15 years before, 14 years before. He was preaching in a city, and he preached the gospel straight, and a lot of people don't like that. They get very angry. One of the things I have learned in ministry is that when you preach the gospel, some people will get mad at you for it because it's not what they want to hear. And they drug him out of the city and they stoned him to death. And I'm sure walked back into the city with a great deal of righteous indignation. But the apostle wasn't ready. God was not ready for his life to be over. And after he had caught up into paradise unto the third heaven, God put him back in his body and gave him life back. And he stood up and went right back to preaching the gospel of Jesus. That will also be recounted at that judgment. And I can imagine the praise going up when the young man who gave his life that I'm named after, Stephen, when he was stoned, and he said, "Look, I behold heaven opened and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." That will be recounted, and I can hear the praise going up. All of the saints who have done so many good things over all of the centuries, they will be remembered, and there will be praise going up. It is a day of reckoning, a day when every single person will stand before God. Someone says, "Well, preacher, there have been about 150 billion people live on earth. How much time is that going to take?" It won't matter. Time won't matter anymore. There will be plenty of time for God Himself to look at every single individual and to make a choice. This judgment that's coming, it is awesome. The Bible says there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I believe there are going to be people who arrive at that judgment and they'll cry their eyes out. Won't do any good. I believe there will be Christian people who have loved ones that cannot stand in that judgment, and we will cry our eyes out. I think a lot of that weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth is going to be you and I crying for the people that we love. It won't matter. Today is the day of salvation. Today, whatever it takes, whatever you have to do. You know, the Bible says if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Or if your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's better to enter into eternity maimed or without all of your body parts than to spend eternity in hell. Today is the day that if you have someone you love who is not saved, who is not a Christian, who has not put their faith in Jesus, today is the day to make that decision and to make it right. Do whatever you have to do. You'd be amazed what you can do if things are really critical. Many years ago, my brother and I worked together and we were returning back to a job site from lunch. We drove by a mobile home and the pasture was on fire. Smoke was coming out of all of the windows. And we pulled up to the house next door and banging on the door and saying, "You know, there's a fire, fire." This woman came running out yelling, "Oh, my baby, my babies," and scared me to death. I ran over to the mobile home. The door on the back was locked. And I don't know how I did it, but I literally ripped that door completely off that mobile home. A little poodle dog jumped out with smoke off of it, and that was her baby. Might not have gotten so excited if I'd have known it was a poodle. But what I'm saying is, if you really believe that something horrible is happening. I believed a child was in that home. It's amazing what you can do. If you understand that someone you love, or you, that you're not where you need to be, and the clock is ticking, it's amazing what you can do. God will direct you. There is a verse I've forgotten the chapter and verse. I apologize. In the Old Testament, it says, if a tree fall to the north or to the west, so shall it lie. Paraphrase is, a tree falls, so shall it lie. I went to a funeral one time, or know of a funeral one time, where a preacher preached at the funeral of a young man who had died in a less than glorious manner, and he used that as his text. And while I didn't agree with saying something like that at a funeral, there's some truth to that. Whenever your life is over, it doesn't matter how much you would like to change it, it's over. When the rich man died in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he's told Abram, he said, send Lazarus back to my brother's house to warn them. Lazarus said, they've got the prophets, they've got the church, they can listen, let them hear them. And he said, yeah, but if one just came back from the dead, they'd believe him. No, they wouldn't. Today is the day for us to make real decisions, because one day this life is going to end, and one day I am going to stand before the throne of Almighty God, and you are going to stand before the throne of Almighty God. And at that date, it won't matter anymore. Changing and saying, I'm sorry, it's not going to get it anymore. The pianists and musicians will come. I will be at the altar, and it is open if anyone would like to come down and pray about themselves or anyone else. Certainly these altars are open.